Appreciate that. Mark chapter 6 is where we are today. Mark 6, please. Amen. And of course, Brother Williams just read to us the text, feeding of the 5,000 here. This text has been on my mind and heart all week long. God just kept bringing me back as I was thinking about what he would have me to preach and praying through it, and he just kept bringing me back to this passage. And there is so much in this miracle here. So much application and teaching. And God asked him to just use it. Maybe we might be on it more than 1 week. We'll see, because God has so much in this. And praise God for it. But before we begin with the feeding of the 5,000, I'm going to ask you personally, church member, maybe visitor today, maybe just family member of somebody else that comes here, whatever the case might be, are you saved? Are you saved? All the Bible was put together for the purpose that you could be saved. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Amen. That's what Paul told Timothy. If today was your last day on earth, we don't know when our time is up. God says our life's but a vapor. It's here for a moment and then it's gone. I spend time visiting folks in the hospital and different things, and sometimes it's we knew this was coming, or there's a condition, but a lot of times it's an all of a sudden accident. Are you saved? And if you're not saved, the Lord Jesus Christ said you can be saved today. If you believe and you ask. And perhaps you say, well, I don't know about all that. I don't know that I'm saved. Let somebody take the Bible and show you today how you can trust Christ as your Savior. It's a personal decision that you've got to choose and believe. And I'd love to show you that. Right after I'm done preaching, I invite you to come let somebody take a Bible and show you that. And it's a personal thing. And I want to encourage you on that. Are you saved? Are you saved? Now, as we get into this text this morning, well, let me say this before I begin that. Be back tonight, if you would. Be back tonight, okay? If there was a service that you should be a part of today, if you only come to one, tonight would be it. Okay, and so just get ready for that. Amen. Be back tonight. What the Lord has shown me in the Scripture, I'm excited about, and I'm looking forward to what God will bring out of it. I believe it's just practical preaching through the text that we've been in Matthew, and there's some things that I needed out of that. There's some things that we all need out of that, and no matter what stage of life you're in. And it'd be great. There are also some announcements tonight I want you to be here for, and all of that. Would you be back tonight? How many of you would say, I'll pray over tonight? I'll pray over the service tonight. How many of you? I mean, that's not very much. Are we not a praying church? God said, let my house be called a house of prayer, right? Come on, are we a praying church? Let's pray over tonight. Who can do that? All right. If your hands are up, you got to be here. If you're praying, you got to be here. Amen. All right, good. All right, good. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible tells us to be in church. It does. Amen. Amen. All right, as we get into this text, what is going on here? What is happening? How do they get to this point? Where are they coming from? What's going on in this text? Did you know at this point the disciples have just returned from a big preaching trip? They've been out preaching. They went two by two, and Jesus sent them out throughout the Galilee region preaching about what did he have them preaching? Exactly what he was preaching. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the Bible says that. Look, if you would, in verse number 6. We're in Mark 6. Verse 7. Verse 7, if you would. The Bible says, and he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two and gave them power over unclean spirits. Look at verse 12. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. And then notice verse 30 where Brother Williams started us today. It says, and the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things both what they had done and what they had taught. Now, the disciples, the 12, they are just coming back to Christ. They've been out preaching. They've been out doing what he's asked them to do. But there was also something else major that has taken place just before this, and that's the death of John the Baptist. Notice in the same chapter, if you would, look at verse 17, please. Verse 17, the Bible says, "For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her." Verse 18, "For John had said unto Herod, It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife." Now look at verse 27. "And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought. And he went and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head in a charger and gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother." Of course, we know that story. Herod's wife, Herodias, did not like John very well because he preached against her sin. And, of course, through all of that, John the Baptist was beheaded. So this is all taking place in this time frame. The disciples are just getting back from preaching, and John the Baptist has just been beheaded for preaching the truth. He was not afraid to preach what was right, no matter if it was a king or if it was a Pharisee or some guy over here. He preached the truth. And John the Baptist was a man. He was a preacher. And, of course, prophesied of the Old Testament that he would come, the one that would come before the Savior and proclaiming that he was coming. And John did that, and he was martyred for preaching the truth. Wow, I wonder today, is there any preachers out among the land and that would preach the truth even as we're watching things change in this world and people don't want to hear the truth anymore? There's coming a day where it won't be easy to preach the truth anymore. Can see it, the signs of the times. Now, here these disciples have gathered with Jesus, verse 30, and John the Baptist has been beheaded, and they're just getting back from the preaching trip. What does that mean? That means they've been serving people and they're tired. They've been journeying, they've been preaching. Preaching wears you out. It does. When you give your all, when God has put something in your heart and you give your all, I'm telling you what, Sunday night, whew, man, I'm ready for bed. I'm just zonked, all right? Because why? Preaching wears you out. And serving people wears you out. But here also, the heat is on. John the Baptist has been beheaded. Pressure. There's a little bit of uncomfortableness in the land. And so this is what happens. Notice, if you would, we get to the feeding of the 5,000. There's so much we can learn from this. It says, verse 30 again, "And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had been taught. And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat." This will be the only miracle that is found in all four of the Gospels. The only miracle found in all four of the Gospels. Oftentimes we find that the Apostle John mentioned miracles that Jesus did that aren't found in the other three Gospels. But this one now, he mentions this, and it's found in all four of the Gospels. Sounds like it's pretty important for us to learn from if God made sure that it would be the one found in all four Gospels. It's actually not only where the whole passage is here, but it's referenced and brought back to attention to 9 times throughout the Gospel. And so we see that now. This message today on the feeding of the 5,000 has so much to learn from it. But I believe God wants us to see 2 major things today. 2 major things out of this. And I believe God wants to teach us. They're going to be, honestly, church, when we talk about these things, they're going to seem like they're completely opposite. There's one, you know, this direction this way, and the next one's this direction this way. They're going to seem like it's opposite. But God is teaching us here that we've got multiple hats to wear, and there's got to be some balance in the process. Amen. We understand that. Many men in here, you're not only are you a husband, but you're a father. Many of you are. And many of you have a job that you got to work and you got to provide for your family. And many of you have a service to the Lord and something that you're doing today for God. Amen. We gotta wear all those hats because God's asked us to. But I can't always be the father I need to be when I'm up here preaching behind the pulpit, right? Right, amen. I've got to be time with my children. And so I must learn that I've got to juggle these things that correctly the way God's asked us. Today, the feeding of the 5,000. I want you to see the place and the people. The place and the people. Amen. Now, I just read that passage to you in verse 31. Did you notice what he said? He said, come, Jesus said, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. The place. How did they get to this place, a desert place? Now, he said apart. The word apart here literally means to get alone, to get separated from people. Amen. I know it doesn't sound very good, okay, but sometimes when I've been serving people after a busy weekend like Resurrection Sunday and the Easter egg hunt before and Sunday and all of that, shoo, on Monday I was like, you know what? I need to get away from people. That doesn't sound very good for a pastor to say that. But there needs to be some time where you pull away. And that's what Jesus is doing here. They've been out traveling and they've been preaching and they've been giving themselves to serve other people and to preach to people and to help them. And now it's time to pull apart. It says apart, away. Notice the word desert place. Now, what are you thinking about when you hear the word desert? Oftentimes I think it's some tumbleweeds and not very much growth, maybe a cactus or two. Right? But that's not what that word is meaning there. A desert can mean either a place of desolation, like a desert that you think of, or it can mean a place out by itself, far from other people. It can mean a place that's out in the fields, way from the city, far from any convenience, if I can say it that way. And that's exactly what he's talking about. To show you that, if you notice in this passage, that in verse 39, he told the people to sit down on the green grass. The green grass. Now, I've seen some deserts, and I don't see much green grass in the deserts. Sometimes we see a little bit of green, some weird things growing, okay, but not much green grass. And so here, we know it's not the Sahara. We know it's not a rolling sand hills or even flat just with no water, but we know it's a place that is set apart. It's a place out far from the cities. Now, in the passage that Luke gives us for it, the gospel that lines up the parallel passage on this, Luke says that it's a desert place belonging to the city of Bethsaida. And Bethsaida would be on the northern part of the Sea of Galilee, but this is a desert place that would belong to it. So the closest city is Bethsaida, but yet they're so far from Bethsaida that they can't quickly get food. And that's what's going on here. Now, it's a countryside. It's some hills. One passage calls it a mountain, and it's got green grass on it, but it's far from the city, and it's a quiet place. Again, I want to draw your attention to what Jesus says here. He tells the disciples, he says, and rest a while. Now, this is going to seem odd coming from this pulpit. Listen now. Fundamental preachers don't talk about too much about taking rest. We don't preach about going on vacation too much. We don't preach about taking time for yourself and staying at home and resting a little bit and resting your bodies. You don't hear that kind of preaching. There's a couple of things that Baptist preachers just don't preach on much. They don't preach against eating too much food. And they don't preach about resting, okay? It's just not what is said. But listen now, Jesus clearly taught this. He said there comes a point where you've got to rest. He said, come apart and rest a while. Now I got to thinking about, wait a minute, what's a while mean? Is he saying like, man, they're going to have like a 2-week vacation? You know, they're going to just go out into this place and have a camping trip for a couple weeks. Amen. No, that's not what it means. When we see that word a while, sometimes we think longer a period of time, but I looked it up and it literally means a while means a little or short season. It's a period of time, but it's not meant to be very long. But he said here, in other words, Jesus saying, I don't want you to quit your ministry. I don't want you to throw in the towel. I don't want you to quit your job and what I've given you, the commission that I've given to you. I don't want you to stop following me, but there comes a point where you need some rest. and come apart. Come over here with me, far away over here in this place that's not where all the people are at, and rest your bodies. Rest your mind. Amen. Remember in the Old Testament, the Bible says that evil spirit had come upon Saul, and David took the harp and played for him. Music can be a great way to get some rest as well. Some godly music. David was playing his harp. The Bible literally says in 1 Samuel chapter 16, at the end of the chapter, I believe, it says, and Saul was well, physically well. Okay, it affected him physically. And it says he was refreshed. That's mentally. You ever get off of work and you're like, man, I just need a minute. I just need a minute. I got to refresh myself a little bit. Yeah, he was refreshed mentally. And then it says the evil spirit departed from him. The music affected him in three different ways. And godly music can help us to do that. And that's just one little thing God was bringing out there. Now notice, he says rest a while. Now, Jesus said it's okay to take some rest. Notice verse 32, if you would. It says, and they departed into a desert place by ship privately. The word privately is literally the same Greek word as the word apart. Jesus put them on a boat because on a boat they could be alone. Just the 12 and him. And they could be alone coming across the Sea of Galilee. Now the Sea of Galilee is a very large lake, if we can call it that way. You can see across it. It's about 14 miles from north to south and 7 miles from east to west across. You can see across it on a calm day. And notice the people they're gonna see them. But in the boat, they could be alone. They could be apart. Jesus here is trying to get them alone to rest. No, also, by removing themselves from the southern part and heading to the northern part of the Sea of Galilee, they are removing themselves from the region in which Herod was ruling. Herod that we're talking about, literally about, more so his palace would be on the east side of the Jordan, and he would rule, from Jerusalem up there to the bottom of the Sea of Galilee, approximately that range there. And so they were removing themselves from that area as well. But secondly today, so first we see the place, and we're going to make application here in just a minute. But secondly, I want you to see the people. Look with me, if you would, in verse 33. Notice this, verse 33. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all the cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. Here they are trying to get away from people, and the people are like, no, we're running after him. They're looking out on the water, and they're seeing the boat. They know who it is. And they're coming, leaving the cities, and they're running around the Sea of Galilee. It would have been quite a trek. I mean, if the most of the cities are along that western side of the Sea of Galilee, and they're going to the north part where the cities weren't, and those hills there, those grassy hills up into the mountains, and here the people, it says they saw them departing. Now, they ran afoot. Obviously, they're, hey, there he goes, and they're running around the Sea of Galilee. Now, this is not a little pond. Remember, I said it's 14 miles north to south, 7 miles across. This is quite a hike, but they're doing it on their feet, trying to get to Jesus. These are people that want to get to the Lord. Now, it says they outwent them. Now, I don't know exactly what that means, but it sounds like they beat them to the northern shore. That's what it sounds like. So here they are trying to get some rest, and the people just won't leave them be. And they're going up here, and the people ran around the lake and got there as they're meeting them, getting off the boat. Look what it says in verse 34. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Jesus looking at the people here, all gathered in the wilderness. What do sheep do when they don't have a shepherd? They wander. They literally get themselves into trouble. If there's a hole in the fence, they'll find it, and they'll get out, and they'll wander. And what sheep Sheep are pretty dumb. They're pretty dumb. And they wander away. They're not thinking about what's protection is and who's going to take care of them. They're just wandering, looking for a better situation for themselves so they can graze. And oftentimes, there's many predators out and about that are just waiting for one to get itself alone. And here Jesus is referencing that these people, they don't have a shepherd and they need one. And he begins to teach them the word of God. Now, what happens? Look at verse 35, please. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, "This is a desert place, and now the time is far past." I think this is hilarious to me. Okay, Jesus, the creator, right? And we think that we need to tell him, "Lord, don't you know what time it is?" I mean, he's the one that made the sun to rise in the east and the set in the west. He's the one that literally Jesus defined the day. He said, "Is there not 12 hours in the day?" Meaning light time and 12 hours at night there. And he defines this. Of course he knows. He knows exactly where he took them. He's the one that created it, this desert place. But I find that funny. Look what they say in verse 36. Here's man's solution to their people problems. "Send them away. Lord, would you get rid of these people? Don't you know what we've done? Don't you know? Don't you know what we've been through? How many different villages around the sea that you've had us preaching in? And here you told us we need to rest, and now these folks are here on us, our doorstep again. Send them away." We're like that, aren't we? Sometimes we are. When we get tired, we lose our compassion, don't we? Yeah. We lose our compassion. God gives us an opportunity to share the gospel with somebody, and we come up with any excuse we got so we don't have to. Why? Because we've let ourselves get tired and burn out. And here, these disciples don't have compassion, but yet Jesus does. He had compassion on them. "Send them away, that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." Now notice verse 37 now. "He answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat." The command of our Lord to these disciples, even though they were coming apart to rest, he said, give them to eat. Now what are we talking about? Many of you have heard this taught before. It literally says in the text there was 5,000 men. And with men, we understand at least from another parallel passage in another gospel that there was children there because there was a lad with a lunch. We understand that. So there was men and there was children there. That means likely there was women as well. Oftentimes, a Jewish man and his family, why wouldn't they go out there together? And so we don't know. Excuse me. We don't know how many people were there, but we know there was more than 5,000 because there was just 5,000 men. And we know that there was at least some children there. And so we understand that. How many of you all, when you're tired, want to serve 5,000 plus people for dinner? How many of you ladies, you know, you've worked all morning getting your family ready for church? And then you take them home after church. Maybe you taught a class, or maybe you helped in nursery. And then you take them home after lunch. After church, you got to feed them lunch. Amen. And then you bring them back, and one kid here is in choir, and another kid's over here doing this. And then you sit through service, and Pastor John, he just goes on a little too long. And then there's a teenager thing after the service, and you got to wait around in the parking lot for a half an hour so they can play ball and eat snacks. And then you get home, and when you know it, every single family member you've ever been associated with and all their friends and all their neighbors and all their relatives, and there's all these thousands of people waiting for you when you get home. And Jesus says, serve them dinner. Send them away, Lord. Send them away. I'm tired. Don't you know what we've been through? Don't you know what's going on? Send them away. And we lose our compassion. We lose our compassion. But Jesus here, he's got other plans. He says, feed them. They need to be fed. They had come away from the city. Literally, the day it says the day was now far spent. Now, when I read that, I think, man, it's almost nighttime. The sun's dropping. In fact, there's another passage that says, I believe Matthew says that it was evening time. Now, the Jews in their culture, they had two evenings. What the first evening was the last 3 hours of sunlight. And so this is way before daylight savings time. So if we can think about 3 to 6 p.m. approximately, that it was the last little bit of daytime. It was the last part of the day. And so there's that evening. And then after the sun sets until the stars appear, that twilight time is the second evening. And that's only about 30 to 45 minutes in that process right there. And so that's how the Jews, they often referred, there's two different evenings. And so what I believe the passage is showing us, of course, that was in Matthew. But I believe what it's talking about is late afternoon. It's late afternoon. The markets are going to close as soon as the sun drops. Okay? They don't have lights. They don't have street lights. They don't have a neon open signs outside the market there and all these things. This is a different day. As soon as the sun drops, they're done. That's why evening there, they had to prepare for the sun going down. And the disciples are saying, Lord, don't you know what time it is? These people got to eat. You got to send them away. So here Jesus says, no. They don't have time to get home. There's no way they're going to make it. And all these people have come out to hear me teach them. And now we got to feed them. Jesus had other plans. Give ye them to eat. Now let's make application of these two things. First, we saw the place. And second, we see the people. All right? Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. God is trying to teach us there's times for different things. There's time for service, but there's also time for rest. He's teaching us these things. First of all, when we're talking about the place, they literally went away. They got apart to rest. My question is to us today, what God's bringing out of this text is Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, are you resting? Yes, I know what year it is, 2025. And let's put laziness aside, okay? God speaks very clearly against laziness. Okay, when we're talking about resting, we're not talking about, well, I'll work 2 hours a day and the rest of the time I'll play video games or just stuff my face or I'll mooch off this person or mooch off that person. You follow me now? Okay? The Bible says a man ought to eat. He ought to eat. He ought to work so his family can eat. I just messed that one right up, didn't I? Sorry, Lord. Yes, you ought to eat, okay? But the Bible says a man ought to work and provide for his home. So his home can eat, he ought to work. Yes, it says that. It says that very clearly in the scriptures. And men ought to work, but listen now, it also says you ought to rest. God showed us that example, did he not? And he created the world. 6 days he worked and then he rested. Yes, he showed us that. He clearly, Elijah needed to rest, but you know what happened to Elijah? He went so far away and God said, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? Elijah, he was just given up, thrown in the towel, and God had to bring different miraculous things to feed him. When are you resting, church? And we're not talking about laziness, but we are talking about taking time for you and your family to rest. You know what happens in 2025? We've got to be a part of every single thing that's going on all the time. That's what happens. Tell me you're not pressured by that. Every single thing that's going on in this world, we got to be a part of it. Why in the world do our children have to be a part of every single sport that's available to them today? Why is that? Where is that in the Bible? It's not in the Bible, is it? But what happens is, it's Monday night, there's this practice, and Tuesday night, there's this ball game, and Wednesday night, oh, well, I've got to get them there so they can do this, but then I got to get to the church so the preacher doesn't say nothing. And then I got to race around all of this thing. And then Thursday night, there's this practice, and then there's this extra skating practice or whatever the case is, and whatnot. And then there's the travel teams on the weekends. You follow what I'm saying here? I'm amazed at how much money and time and effort people put into sports. Well, their kid's going to be the next whoever. Michael Jordan. Listen now. You know what we're doing? We're running ourselves into the ground. And we're putting all this important. I like sports and I think it's fun. We have a softball team that's going on right now, meeting on Thursday nights. Listen, it's fun. But it's not our lives. It doesn't make up everything of our life. You know what happens? There's a lot of people in here that work, and you work hard, and you're diligent at it, but work has become an idol to you. Where work is starting to replace family time and time with the Lord. When are you resting? When are you resting yourself? Yesterday, the Lord had led me, I've been thinking through this, and the assistant pastors, we meet different times of the year, and we go through the calendar, and we're talking about things, and I know this from being an assistant pastor. Of course, the pastor setting the direction there as God's leading there. And when I had a young family, and as an assistant pastor, I'm telling you what, we were tired all the time. We were tired all the time. Why? Because we're trying to raise a family and we're trying to be a part of everything in the ministry. And a small church, you got to do everything. You're serving the tables and you're cleaning up afters and you're setting up and you're running the program and you're planning it and you're doing it. And it's just tired. You just get tired. And we were talking about some things and we began to say, is there ever a day when the ministry isn't going on? Is there ever a day when Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church just shuts down for a day of rest? And I said, that's a really good question. And so many of you know that in the calendar this year, approximately once a month, we put in a day of rest when there's nothing supposed to be going on this property. And yesterday was one of those days. Can I tell you what? The Woolard family needed that. We needed that. Now, I probably shouldn't tell you, but we had to work till 9 o'clock on Friday just to get ready for the day of rest, but we had a day of rest. Okay? It was awesome. It just meant that there was nothing going on in the church. There was nothing going on in the church ministries that I wasn't required. I usually work every Saturday and I check on people and I call folks and I check on things. I review messages and all that. And God said, you know what? We need a day of rest. We needed that. Man, I could barely get myself out of bed. I was like, oh, I felt like I was, 180 or something. I could barely get out of bed, but it was fun. But I didn't stay idle and lay around all day. I tinkered. Was working on this piece of equipment, and I went and got some mulch because we got to do some things at home and different things. But you know what? There was no stress and overload and pressure up here in my mind because I work more with my mind than I do my hands these days. And I needed that time of rest. My children needed to be at home. You remember when we were little? We had time at home. Do you know how many things I learned to build in the sandbox? Why? Because we were home. You know how many tree forts and paths in the woods with the bikes and everything that we made? Man, before paintball and airsoft, we just had them old metal guns that were half wood, half metal with an orange tip. Man, we'd be like, bang, you're dead. No, you missed me. No, I got you in the arm. Where? We played war. We went out and did things in the woods and we had fun. It's wonderful. But you know what? We're not allowing that time for our families anymore. Why? Because we're always on the go. We got to go, 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 go all the time. We got to be like the Joneses. We got to keep up with them. I'm sorry, not you. Keeping up with the Joneses. I'm teasing. But that's the truth in 2025. And we're so busy on the go all the time that we're wearing out and we're wearing thin. And that's why we don't want to serve God anymore, is because we don't have self-control enough to have a day where we take some rest for our families. And then we're like, oh, I got to run a bus route. I am so tired. Wait a minute. If we were taking some rest, then we could still serve God. Well, Pastor, I take rest on Sundays. Wait a minute. What? Well, that's the day to rest, is it? So resting is just throwing in the towel for God? I mean, it's like, we're not going to serve God anymore. We're not going to go to church. Sunday is the busiest day of the week for me. It's one of the longest, too. I don't believe that we just skip church and all these things because we got to rest. Wait a minute. Well, yeah, but we got this going. Wait a minute. God's bringing us out now. I might as well follow it. Amen. Let's go to Hebrews. Follow in your Bible. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. God's bringing it out. Might as well preach it. Amen. Come on. I'm going to preach what God wants. Hebrews chapter 10. Look at over here, please, if you would. Hebrews chapter 10. There's so many Christians today because they're so wore out from everything they're trying to do in life. They only just pick and choose when I'm a part of things of God. Wait a minute. What's the Bible say here? Look at Hebrews 10. Look at verse 23. Let us hold fast. What's that mean? That means hold on to it firm. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. God is faithful, is he not? He expects us to be faithful in return. Verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. You know what that sounds like? That sounds like God saying, be in church when the church is assembled. That's what he's saying. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. More and more and more. We ought to be involved with the work of God more and more as the day gets closer to his return. And so there we see that God says, no, we don't just skip church because we need rest. We don't just skip church because it's convenient. Well, I served God this morning, so I won't go to church tonight. Where is that found in the Bible? It's not. But I ask you, when are you rested? When are you rested? You know, a man can find rest not necessarily sitting on a couch with a TV in his remote in his hand. He can find rest when he's doing things that are outside his daily routine. You know, I still have to mow the grass. I have to tend to my home. I got to fix things on my house. We got to put some mulch in and do some things so the house looks nice, right? And all the plants that we planted a couple years ago don't die and dry up. And that mulch and that moisture there, we need that. Right, I've got to power wash our house. I've got to do that sometime soon. It's just get the north side. You know how it is. The north side gets a little green sometimes. We've got to do that. I've got to tend to my home. But you know what? That is outside of my normal routine, and a man likes to work with his hands. I like to tinker. I like to play with things. I love to be in the garage messing with stuff. If I don't know how it works, let's tear it apart and find out. Amen. We can rest in different ways. So can ladies. I don't get some of y'all. You like to take a book and lay out in the grass and read it for hours. Man, that ain't me. I want to mess with my hands. But that's rest for some of y'all. Vic's over here shaking his head. Vic, you're weird. Okay, moving on. All right. Now, secondly, the people. We've learned we're two things of focus today. One is rest. The second one is the people. Jesus didn't forget the people when they needed to be served. What is your ministry? What is your ministry? Now, Jesus allowed them to rest on the boat, and maybe that wasn't long enough that they thought. Maybe it wasn't long enough for you, but he did allow them to rest. And then when he got to that shore, there was all these people that needed Jesus. And soon they needed to eat. And he commands them, give ye them to eat. What is your ministry? And we're about out of time, but Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church does not exist for a place of entertainment. I know that some churches are all into that, and they got every latest band and everything else, and they bring in every single weekend trying to draw the crowd. It's not a place of entertainment. Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church exists because God put us here to make a difference in the community that we are within. We are to be a light to our Jerusalem. As he talks about, as a city set up on a hill cannot be hid. That's what the church is supposed to be, a lighthouse, a beacon of light and hope to bring. Folks can come in and hear the gospel. So I ask you again, what is your ministry? What does that mean? Ministry, minister, means a servant. So ministry is service. What is your ministry? Well, Pastor, what are you talking about? Wait a minute. I'm here this morning. Wait a minute. But God gives us a job to do within the church. Vic and Gina were just up here and they got their plaques for going through discipleship. Somebody had to take them through discipleship and teach them. That's ministry. The youth group, when they meet on, they'll meet tonight after church, after Sunday night church, and they meet together on Wednesday nights, and they do activities together, and they're going to camp this summer and all of that. Somebody's got to help them. Somebody's got to work with them. That's a ministry. Amen. All those people that came for the Easter egg hunt and they heard the gospel, somebody had to minister to those folks. That's a ministry. I thank the Lord for our nurseries. And somebody's got to serve in there so we can have nurseries. What is your ministry? What is your ministry? How are you serving other people? God says this very clearly. He says, go teach, baptize, teach. That takes people serving. He says in Ephesians 4, he says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's within the church. Galatians chapter 6, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Colossians 4, Paul speaking to an individual, he says, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. What is your ministry? Are you resting, but what is your ministry? It seems like two opposite things to preach today. But if we are resting, then we have energy and life left to serve God in this church. Amen. That's why the Lord gave us this church. It's pretty quiet this morning. I don't think we're following here. We're understanding what God wants. Listen, God wants you to rest, but he also wants you to serve other people. He clearly says that in the Word of God. Why is it, church? I'm going to shut my Bible here and give you some hope. Okay? Why is it, church, that every single Sunday morning, or every single Sunday as we're preparing, Brother Kidwell's got to beg and plead for bus drivers and bus workers every week? Why is that? Because people aren't serving. Amen. What happens? Why is it that we have nurseries and we need those nurseries, and we got three different types of nurseries for different age groups, and we'll have people that are supposed to be there and they just don't show up, and people got to scurry and figure out, and somebody else has got to do the load even though they've done it the last 4 weeks in a row. Why is that? Because we're not serving. We don't have a servant's heart when the Lord told us to do that. We're not faithful where he's put us. That's why Paul said, you tell Archippus, you be faithful, take heed to the ministry that the Lord gave you. I believe that God has something for every single saved individual in the church to do. I believe he's got something for everybody to do. It's clearly in Scripture. Well, Pastor, I'm like, you know, the pew warmer. That's my ministry. I don't see that in Scripture. I don't see that. That's not Bible. Church is a place to serve. So very two opposites today. How are you resting? When are you resting? And what is your ministry? Now as we close now, if you're here today and you're not saved, come find out how to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Let's bow together, please. Lord, we thank you for the text today, the message. God, you clearly are bringing out that we need to rest. There's time to rest, and we've got to schedule that time. We've got to plan on that time. But Lord, that doesn't take us away from serving you. God, we don't just bail on our ministries and bail on serving other people. Lord, you had compassion on the people. May we take up our ministry that God has given us. Lord, help us, please. Maybe there's some in here that you gave us a ministry long ago, but we just got tired of it. Lord, thank you for not getting tired of us. Thank you for being faithful to us. May we respond to that and be faithful to you. God, help us. Maybe there's some families in here that need to understand 2 Peter when he's talking about what you add to your faith, and goes through virtue and knowledge. There's something there, Lord, a temperance, self-control. Temperance means self-control. Maybe, Lord, there'd be some families today that just need to learn how to say no to some activities and no to certain things because they're not getting any rest. Lord, I pray you'd help us, please. May we see the Word of God. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, the invitation.